Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Almost everyone knows to call 911 when there's an emergency and an ambulance or police are needed. But do you know what dialing 211 is for? 211 is a Health and Human Services helpline that connects people in need to their communities. Those needs could be connected to those who are in danger of homelessness, health, drug and alcohol treatment, or even the 2020 census. 211 is available to every Pennsylvanian, and we learn more about it on today's Smart Talk. Joining us, Kristen Rotz, President of the United Way of Pennsylvania, Debbie Rehart, Executive Director of PA211, Kelly Golick, Executive Director of PA201 South Central, Chris Kapp, Coordinated Entry System Manager for the Central Valley Region. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Scott.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Now, I'm going to ask some basic questions for those who may not be familiar with 211 and PA211 in particular. Kristen Rotz, let me start with you. What is 211?
211 is now a statewide service that any Pennsylvanian can use and call or text whenever they're having struggles with a health or human services issue. It's a service that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which makes it pretty unique to any other service that's available in the community. And when someone contacts 211, they're talking to a trained resource specialist who is listening empathetically and drawing out what the key needs of the individual are, and then trying to connect that person to services to meet their needs in the community.
You mentioned some of the broad issues, but what kind of human services are we talking about?
Our most common calls have to do with a lot of basic needs related to housing and utility assistance and food assistance. But 211 also gears up for a lot of different special projects. There's been some work done here in this part of the state that's a partnership with Department of Corrections to help with people who are reentering society after incarceration. We're doing a special project on the census right now statewide to help make sure people understand that this is the year when we all need to be counted so that Pennsylvania has a full and accurate count.
I want to talk more about that in just a few minutes. But 211 was something that started in Georgia, in Atlanta, in the year 2000. How long has it been here in Pennsylvania?
It's been here in Pennsylvania for about 15 years. It has started in certain regions of the state and grown up from there to the point where it is now a statewide service. It's a strong partnership between United Way and 211 to make sure that the service is available across the state. And it's actually available to 95% of the U.S. population as well.
That was my next question about the United Way of Pennsylvania and how 211 relates to the United Way.
United Way is one of the top funders of the 211 service across the state. For us, we hear every day in communities as United Way that people have a hard time finding help when they need it. They don't necessarily know where to turn. We also know that people who need help don't necessarily just need it between normal business hours. We know that people who need help have overlapping needs as well. So the 211 system is designed to try to address all of those things. And from United Way's perspective, it's also a really key way for how we measure need in the community and understand what's going on day to day, because we come to understand whether we have enough services available to support people based on the needs they're expressing to 211.
I would think just what you just said, that would be a good way to get some numbers, if you will, on what kind of services are needed, because you can see what kind of services people are in need of. When you say that United Way and funding, talk about the funding sources for 211.
211 is currently funded with United Way support. We also receive a state appropriation, which helps fund the service statewide and was one of the factors that allowed us to achieve statewide coverage here recently. We also have some support from our local organizations who are actually delivering the service on the ground. They've had a long-term commitment to information and referral, and some of their resources actually end up supporting 211 as well across the state.
Debbie Rehart, Kristen was talking about with that statewide coverage, 100% coverage, 95% coverage across the country. Is that recent? Is that new?
Absolutely. Cameron County was the last county to come on board, and it came on board of January 1st just this year. So 100% coverage.
I would imagine that those rural counties like Cameron County are some of the real big challenges, because in some of the more populated counties where there's a county seat, well, they all have county seats, but where urban areas are where people probably can find human services maybe a little easier than in some of the rural areas.
That's absolutely true. It's difficult at getting a lead agency in any county. We like to have a lead agency that's in charge of making sure that the services are available. And in the smaller counties where there aren't as many social services available, it is difficult.
Mm. You know, one of the things I have to think of, and maybe I'm showing my age, but I remember the blue pages in the phone book. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be a place where a lot of people would go to find human services. The difference, well, there are a lot of differences between that and 211. But when you went to the blue pages to find a human service, mm-hmm. you probably went for a specific organization or agency. Mm-hmm. 211 is a lot broader.
Yes.
And the person calling or contacting 211 is relying on the person on the other end to direct them to the right place, right?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. So is that a good comparison, that the blue pages of the phone book, for those who remember those?
Absolutely. Those were mostly government services, if I remember correctly.
There were those, but there also were some human services in there as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm only telling you this because I remember these things, Debbie.
Yeah. Yes, I remember them as well.
The thing that does differentiate this from the blue pages, I would say, is when you put something in print now, it's pretty much out of date as soon as you print it.
That's
so
a good point.
We have an online database, which is updated by resource specialists across the state, and that gives it a little bit more of a real-time touch. And we're actually trying to move into a position where our service is strong enough that all our partners in the community feel very comfortable using that online database to find resources instead of trying to keep printed directories up to date.
Good point.
Kelly Golic, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to also say the difference is we are able to have eligibility information, hours, you know, a lot of detailed information about the resources and the services. So when somebody calls us, we're able to refer them specifically to a food bank or a food pantry in their zip code, tell them the hours, tell them all of the information they need to take with them if they have to have proof of residency for that community, if there's other eligibility, social security numbers. So it's the blue pages, you got a phone number. You call 211, you get a caring person who knows the community and knows a lot about each of the resources and can tell that information to you.
Right. And they're also trained to drill down into other needs that aren't necessarily expressed.
Okay. Well, for example, give me an example.
Somebody might call in and express that they are at danger of being homeless, but the resource specialist can drill down and determine that they are food insecure or they need other sorts of services that will connect them. They could be connected to in the community.
Mm-hmm. So when you say you're trained, I mean, are there certain triggers you look for, or is that just part of the phone call, and we're using phone as an example, that they're trained to ask certain questions?
Yeah, they are trained to ask certain questions, as well as many of our helpline staff are certified helpline specialists. They've been tested through a national test to make sure that they know what they're doing. We're not just saying, hey, get on the phone and start helping people. They know what they're doing. They're compassionate, caring individuals. And we have certain questions that we ask everybody that helps us gather statistics and know who we're serving. But those questions also, also help to determine what resources. For instance, we ask everybody if they're a veteran. Well, there are specialized veterans programs out there. And if we don't ask that question, we're missing that opportunity to find those resources for those particular callers. So that's just one example. We ask a lot about food insecurity because we know when people call in, they're sometimes afraid to tell us that they're food insecure. In particular, that's one that's challenging. So we ask them about their food insecurity. And we have found about half the people we're asking are saying, yeah, I am food insecure, and are open to a referral for food services. Mm-hmm. So we're able to get not only what their main cause is, but then figure out additional resources for them.
Chris or Kelly, maybe both of you, walk me through a typical call. And again, I'm using phone as an example, but there are other ways to contact a 211. But walk me through a typical contact.
Well, a very simple call. Somebody calls in. We determine what county they're calling from, what zip code they're calling from, because, again, this is a statewide service. We have a statewide database of information, and individuals could be calling from anywhere within our service area, so we need to know where they're calling from so we can immediately search for the most appropriate services. Then we determine what their need is. Sometimes the need is, I need help with everything. Mm-hmm. Well, so then our trained staff need to figure out, okay, what does everything mean? Usually, as Kristen said, it's a basic need. It's paying bills. So which bills do you need help paying with? And once we determine that, sometimes we even have to figure out which provider for, let's say, for instance, electric. So in some counties, there's multiple electric providers. So we need to know who the electric provider is, because one agency may assist with one electric provider and another agency with another electric provider. So we determine, you know, what the needs are. We do searches. We talk it through with the caller, explaining to them what the services are, what the hours are, what kind of eligibility. Sometimes the conversation determines that a resource, they're not eligible for it for whatever reason. Then we look for additional services. And again, we ask questions about health insurance, depending on what's going on. We may ask, does everybody in your home have health insurance? Because then we can refer to appropriate programs there. And, you know, through the process, we like to be able to, if we can, text out the information to them. We can give it to them over the phone and read it to them, but there's less chance for, you know, writing down the wrong phone number if we can text out the information. Most everybody does have a cell phone, but not everybody. We do get a lot of callers that are still calling from landlines that we do read the information. We confirm that they have the information accurately and correctly. And then, of course, we always encourage them to call back when they have additional concerns or issues when the call is wrapped up.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't someone call?
Why wouldn't somebody call 211? Yeah. Because they're afraid, I would think, or they don't know that 211 is out there.
And that's part of what we're doing today.
Yeah.
But
I think
the reason I asked that question is because you said that many times people who are food insecure are, I don't know whether afraid, but are hesitant to mention that. And I can imagine that there are many, many more people across the state who could use 211 but just don't want to admit that they need some help.
It's embarrassing, and we get a lot of individuals who will say to us, I've never thought I would be in this situation in my life. I've worked my whole life. I've done well for myself, and I got laid off because something happened, and then I had a medical problem. And before you know it, I can't pay my rent. And people don't, they're scared then to ask for help because they're so used to taking care of themselves and doing it for themselves. And Pennsylvania has a network of people who want to support them, help them, love them, and be compassionate and be non-judgmental of their situations. And there's amazing services and programs. And 211 wants to help be that gateway to those programs and services.
Are there people who don't want to give their names?
Absolutely. And we don't require that they do.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk more about 211, PA 211 in particular, in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. I want to talk about some of the programs that we have coming up. Pennsylvania is not meeting its goals in the Chesapeake Bay cleanup. We'll be talking about that next week. And also priorities of Pennsylvania counties during the year 2020. That's coming up a little bit later in the week. We invite you to share your questions in advance by sending us a voice memo or leaving voicemail. See what's coming up at WITF.org/smarttalk. Today we're talking about 211 or PA 211. It's a health and human services helpline that connects people in need in their communities. Our guest today, Kristen Roch, president of the United Way of Pennsylvania, Debbie Rehart, executive director of PA 211, Kelly Golick, executive director of PA 211 South Central, and Chris Kapp, coordinated entry system manager for the Central Valley region. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. And I want to talk about some of the specific issues that you deal with. But earlier, Kelly, I believe it was, mentioned homelessness. Chris, before the program, we were talking about some numbers, and you said that you came equipped with the latest numbers on homelessness in Pennsylvania. And I thought to myself that this is probably one of the most important numbers for Pennsylvanians to need, and there are several reasons. But you said to me that one of the reasons is definition of homelessness, right?
Right. There are multiple definitions of homelessness that the government uses to categorize people. There's the HUD definition, which is the Housing and Urban Development definition, which defines literal homelessness, which is, means that people are sleeping on the streets, in their vehicles, in a shelter, anywhere that is not meant for human habitation. It does not include people who are couch surfing. It does not include people who are living in motels that they're paying for on their own. And that's where 211 can come in, because 211 has become our partner in helping us with our coordinated entry system, Connect to Home, to get people assessed and into the housing system. And they can help us define who's meeting the HUD definition versus who is meeting the Department of Education and the McKinney-Vento definition, which is far broader and does include those couch surfers, does include those people staying in motels. Where 211 comes in is when people who are experiencing literal homelessness call in to 211. The specialists are able to do a few things right off the bat. They're able to talk to people in crisis in a way that humanizes them and calms people. I have had a lot of people come into my office and say, you know, I was so panicked when I called in, and they were able to sort of demystify the process and put people at ease and just make people feel heard. But they're also given an assessment that looks at all areas of their lives, and it helps match them with the right programs that are going to end their homelessness, instead of just having them, you know, in a person in crisis trying to cast a wide net. We're taking that burden off people.
Can I interrupt for just one second? Mm-hmm. I mean, because homelessness would seem to be... My guess is that most people who are homeless and fit one of those definitions never expected to be that way. And they probably don't know where to turn.
Absolutely.
Except for maybe a homeless shelter or, you know, somewhere where they're looking for a meal. But long term, that many people are not educated in that area because they never expected to be in that kind of situation. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Most people who are homeless have never been homeless before. And the average age of a homeless person in America right now is 9. So these are people who are families with children. Right now in the 11-county region that I cover, which is Cumberland, Perry, Lebanon, Mifflin, Juniata, Northumberland, Schuylkill, Union, Schneider, Columbia, and Montour counties, there are 1,267 people experiencing HUD definition, literal street homelessness, and 188 of those people are children. So for those parents to have a place to call and say, I don't have a place for my kids tonight, for them to be able to call 211 and not have to make 15 phone calls to try to find all of the resources they need is a godsend. It's been such a relief for people. It has taken the burden off the person in crisis and put it onto the system to find that person the help they need.
Mm. I was impressed with how you just listed those counties. I noticed that you were looking at this.
<Thank you. laughs>
And I also have to admit that I'm a little bit surprised. You said 1,200?
1,267.
1,267.
And those are the ones that have been identified.
Okay.
Those are the ones who have called into 211 and gotten that assessment done. So that is what 211 has done for us. They have helped us far expand our knowledge of the problem, because before we could only use the HUD point in time count, which is a one-night snapshot once a year. we only had that one number once a year to work off of. Now we have up to the minute data. I pulled these numbers 5 minutes before we came on the program using a system that 211 is plugging into every day.
Yeah, that is important, because that once a year a census would be taken, and that's where we got our ideas. And let's face it, those numbers change all the time.
Absolutely.
Because someone may find a place, a home, or become homeless.
Right.
So, you know, those, it's good to have those numbers. And that's just from 211.
It is from 211 and from our access sites, which are often 211 centers as well. People can walk in, but it's mostly 211. The bulk of all of our information is coming out of our 211 call centers.
Let's take a phone call from Heather in Mechanicsburg. Heather, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say I've never heard of 211, and I wouldn't have heard of it until today. And listening to this show, I deal a lot with human services, especially with the guys that come to work for me, and with, you know, kids that go to school at Dauphin County Technical School. We have kids there that, you know, don't have food in their cupboards, and we're trying to set up a food bank there. And this is something that I think that most counselors don't know anything about, or most, you know, I deal with, like, a homeless shelter, transitional housing for women with children and who are pregnant. And, you know, I've never seen a flyer for this. I've never seen that number plastered anywhere. There's a little book that comes out once a year that, you know, gives, you know, different programs that are available. I've never seen this in that book. And I think, you know, this is just one of the things that your show does that, you know, helps get the word out. And I'm so thankful for that, because, you know, I can help the two guys that lived in my warehouse because they didn't have a place to go. They were homeless, living on the street. And, you know, instead I have them upstairs in my warehouse in a spare room, you know. So this is very, 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 very important. So thank you.
Hey, thank you very much for your call. But Kristen, you know, the point that that Heather makes, if people don't know about 211, I mean, especially since it's been around for a number of years, but if they don't know about it, they can't take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. What do you have to do to publicize that to make more people aware of it?
We definitely recognize we need to do a lot more marketing. We don't have a lot of resources to do marketing with. There have been some regional marketing initiatives. I know in this part of the state, there's been some efforts to get the word out about 211 on billboards, on the sides of mass transit buses, in the bus stations. We are working now on statewide marketing because we have just achieved statewide coverage. We now can develop some statewide marketing and launch that this year. So we hope that's going to help get the word out. But typically, word of mouth and firsthand experience tends to spread the word on 211. And as we take on more special initiatives, people learn about 211 that way as well. In other states, 211 has been deployed in times of major natural disaster, and 211 understanding skyrockets, because when you're being told, you know, if you have an emergency, you call 911. If you need to figure out where to go to get sandbags for flooding, you call 211. The people come to understand 211 very clearly.
You know, let's face it, and someone working in radio knows that to publicize anything, a lot of times money is needed. And I know you, with nonprofits, organizations that work with people like this, you have to decide how your money is going to be spent. I mean, you have to decide whether it means paying someone to be there 24/7 to answer the phone calls and direct people versus marketing and letting people know. Now, you can get a lot of free marketing, shows like this, different places you can put the 211 number, but is that an issue?
It is an issue, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is the first year that we will actually have marketing money set aside in our statewide budget. But honestly, it's, I think, a total of $30,000, and it's not going to get us real far. Right. So if there are people listening who would like to explore partnerships to help us get the word out about 211, we'd love to have those conversations.
What kind of partnerships?
Well, like you mentioned, the free marketing. Anybody who's working in human-facing organizations, we have simple little things like little business card-sized business cards that promote 211.
Business card size business cards.
Yes. Okay. Wallet cards.
As opposed to those big business cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we have simple things like that. And people take those to community resource fairs. Some of our legislators have started to help get the word out about 211 as well. They're putting articles in their newsletters. They have things sitting in their office because that's actually a place where a lot of people will go for help as well. If they don't know what to do, they'll reach out to their state representative or their state senator and try to find help.
You know, we talked about homelessness, hunger. Education is one. I was looking at the Lancaster County site in particular, and I noticed that education was dealt with. And I have to admit, I didn't expect this because it was talking about, you know, percentages, breakdown of those who go for four-year degrees and how many more skilled workers are needed. How does 211 fit in with education?
There's a couple different ways right now. 211 is helping to connect families to summer food programs in many parts of the state because once you hit that summer break and kids aren't getting school lunches and school breakfasts anymore, there are families who are looking for assistance with that. But I think that the education also ties into when we're getting calls for help with employment resources. Because 211 is a place to turn when you've never had to ask for help before, we are hearing from people who are working but struggling to make a payment on some basic needs.
Alice explained that.
Alice,
I mean, I had
yes.
you on the program
yes.
talking about Alice, but these are some of the people that you're talking about. What
Absolutely.
Is Alice?
Alice is every Pennsylvanian who is going to work every day but is not earning enough to pay for their basic needs. And those basic needs mean food, housing, transportation, childcare if they have children. And these are individuals who are basically doing all the things that they are needing to do to be successful but are not earning enough income to pay for all their basic needs.
You know, I'm always curious. 2008, we went through 2007, 2008, we went through what was called the Great Recession. It was a turning point for many people, not just in this state, across the country. And a lot of people, it took a long time to recover as far as jobs, as far as being able to afford rent, utilities, those kind of things. I'm curious, even though the numbers today say the economy is doing so well, do you see fewer calls to 211 because the economy is doing so well? Or, Chris, you're wrinkling up your nose. If I could show that look on your face, like, are you really asking that question? Why did you? I wish I could show that look. You looked at me like, are you really asking that question? So I think you answered my question, but explain if you would.
Sorry about my face. we have seen such a need and a growing need, and I can speak to Cumberland County because I was just there, and I've been helping them with some collective impact things down there. The housing costs and the wages have not kept up pace with one another. Yes, quote, the economy is doing well. People are underemployed. The wages have not increased, but the housing costs have increased. Right now, the housing wage in Cumberland County for people to be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment is over $19 an hour.
Wow.
It's absurd. And those are not the jobs that are available. The jobs that are available are paying $10, $11, $12 an hour. Okay. So people are working full time and they are still unable to afford housing. So we're seeing a real disconnect between the wage gap and the housing in our area. So we're seeing more and more people who are fully employed and can't afford a house.
So even though those numbers, those economic statistics, say one thing, I mean, one of the lowest unemployment rates we've ever had, maybe the lowest in 50 years, that does not mean that everyone is earning a wage that, like Alice in particular, those people who are working full-time but may not be earning enough to afford all the essentials.
Correct. And sometimes it's people working two and three part-time jobs or a full-time job and two part-time jobs, and they're still unable to afford basic basics.
Mm. So I guess if I can ask you to look back in those 12 years to 2008, have you seen any kind of trends?
What I can tell you is, because I was doing this back in 2008. Yeah, I've been doing information referral and working with 211 for a long time. One of the neat things that we are able to do is track some statistics. I can tell you that in 2007, we saw the calls for housing assistance skyrocket kind of before the bubble burst.
So you knew something was up.
So we knew it was coming. We could see that it was coming. I don't feel like I have seen it recover, meaning that I think it's kind of stayed at that higher level ever since then when it comes to housing needs. Like, that has now become our number one call. And in part, it has become our number one call because we're partnering with the COC, but it was there, which is why it made it a natural partnership for us to work with them. So housing is really just an incredible need throughout this region, actually throughout all of Pennsylvania. And there are pockets where it might be a little better, might be a little worse, but it definitely is a problem throughout the whole state.
Are there any issues that are starting to stick out or you're seeing more of calls about? Chris, you're shaking your head, yes.
We're seeing a lot more elderly people who are housing insecure. As baby boomers are aging, we're finding that they took a hit in their 401ks. They've taken a hit in their income, and through 211 and the data they collect, we've been able to ascertain that there is a huge problem that's going to be coming of a lot of really aging people who are experiencing homelessness.
You know, and it makes me wonder, how closely do you work with these agencies and that deal with housing issues for particular, and say to them, we are seeing more calls here? I mean, obviously they know that these things are coming in, but I mean, do you ever communicate that these are the kind of things that we see coming down the road? Just like Kelly, you said you could tell in 2007 that now you're seeing more people who are older that are having housing issues.
Every day. I'm taking the data that I get from 211 and from what they're doing with both coordinated entry and their other calls that they get, and it's literally my job to funnel that information to the agencies to say, here's what is happening, here's what the big picture looks like. Now we all have to get together and work together to sort of fix this. So 211, I couldn't do my job without 211.
Any other issues that maybe would be a surprise or you haven't seen in the past that you're starting to hear about now?
I think one of the really cool things about what we do and gather statistics is because we do gather zip codes and we work regionally, we're able to look at pockets throughout the state and say, oh my word, look, here in South Central Pennsylvania, we are seeing our region get a lot of calls where we make referrals for transportation needs. Mm-hmm. It's one of our top 10 calls in our region, and legal issues, one of our top 10 calls here in the South Central area. So you can reach out to your 211 within your region and talk to them about what's going on. And we can really kind of drill down into that data and say, in this zip code, we're seeing this, this, and this. And each region has different needs. I know some of my partner regions have much more income needs. Not that we don't, but they're not seeing legal and transportation in their top 10 caller concerns like we are. So there's something that's going on here in South Central where we know there's some public transportation, but there's a lot of challenges with transportation.
Debbie, I'm curious, and I don't want to change the tone of the conversation, but the kind of information that you've been talking about here, the data that you have, I would think that there would be state lawmakers, legislators who would be interested in that information. Do you ever get referrals or questions asked from legislators?
Absolutely, we do. And this information is all available through 211 counts. You can go on the web, 211.org, I believe. 211counts, I'm sorry, .org. And you can look up this information and then drill down by congressional district or by state house district or zip code or whatever, and you can see what are the main needs in that area. So legislators have the ability to look at that information and find out what's going on in their districts.
Yeah, I would think that that would be a valuable tool mm-hmm. for a legislator because, you know, they send out questionnaires to their constituents. Mm-hmm. But being able to have those statistics at, you know, right there at their fingertips, mm-hmm. they can look and see, you know, the next time they're thinking about a budget, right. That, you know, here are some needs that, that we're seeing in my district and across the state.
Right.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking about something that's been around for a while now, but a little bit different. Legislation about right to repair. And a little bit different. It's something that would require manufacturers, those who sell products, to provide information on where to get parts, how to repair. Believe it or not, there are a lot of, well, you probably have experienced this, or maybe you've experienced this, that you buy something and there's something goes wrong with it. You need to get it fixed, and you're told, well, I can't do anything with that. You have to buy another one. Well, this is legislation that would encompass a lot of those conversations. That's coming up on tomorrow's program, Right to Repair. If you'd like to see upcoming programs that we're working on Smart Talk, go to WITF.org/smarttalk, and you can see some of the future topics that we're working on. Today's program, we're talking about PA211. It's a Health and Human Services helpline that connects people to agencies, organizations that can provide them. And I have to tell you that there probably are a lot of things you wouldn't think of that 211 can connect you to. So we'll be giving some websites here in just a moment. Kristen Rotz is president of the United Way of Pennsylvania. Debbie Rehart is executive director of PA211. Kelly Golick is executive director of PA211 South Central. And Chris Kapp is coordinated entry system manager for the Central Valley region. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7533. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. We have several emails. Jenny, a student at Millersville University, emails us. She says, I work at a food bank shelter in Lancaster. Is there anything else that you, as the 211 operators, would like us to tell these clients? Is there anything that helps the process move faster or anything I can do besides just say, call 211. Who wants to take that one?
Crickets, right?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think we can't expedite. We don't have magic powers to expedite somebody's request for help. We can be compassionate, supportive, tell them what to do, how to do it. We can get them the proper assessments. Mm-hmm. Every county does function a little bit differently when it comes to housing, even though there's some coordinated efforts, and encourage them to call back when they have additional issues.
But her question mm-hmm. in particular, as someone who is working face-to-face with people in shelters, is it a good idea that she suggests to them, call 211, there are some resources there for you?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because she may only know a small piece of what's going on if they come for food. There could be a lot of other issues like mental health issues. There could be homelessness issues. There could be child care issues.
Substance abuse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. substance abuse, an aging parent issue. So a child with a disability. So, you know, showing up at a food pantry shows that there's some kind of a need, and encouraging them to contact 211, where we can then further discuss that. A lot of times it's easy to talk to somebody over the phone when you don't have to look at them or text us. So, you know, you are able to text us and we are able to respond via text. It makes it very safe and much more comfortable for some people to reach out.
I would add to that if she wanted to encourage people to be as honest as possible when they call, mm-hmm. You don't have to present your best self when you call 211. Be as open and honest about what you need in all areas, and then the 211 specialist will be better able to help you.
Mm-hmm. Is it accurate to say that usually there is more than one issue?
I would say it's fairly accurate to say if somebody's calling in and saying that they need help paying for something, there's probably multiple things that they need assistance with, because that's usually the foundation and what they'll reach out about first, keeping their home, keeping their electric on. And sometimes, you know, when you have an opportunity to talk a little bit more, that's when you're able to learn about maybe a mental health issue and get that kind of referral, or health insurance issue or something along those lines.
Mary Ann emails us, does 211 partner with Contact Helpline?
So,
there you go,
yes, yes, they do. My agency is Contact Helpline, and we provide the PA-211 South Central service for 10 counties in South Central. But then we also offer an emotional listening support hotline, which is just the other piece of what my agency does. So PA-211 is one of the pieces of what Contact Helpline does in South Central Pennsylvania.
All right. I don't want to confuse people.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about a number of different issues or needs that people have on this program, often my guest will come with an 800 number or a website where they can get help. Some of those are life or death situations, like a suicide hotline, for example, domestic violence hotline. Someone calls 211 thinking about taking their own life. Are you in position to help that person?
Yes. Part of the training that our helpline staff experience before they go on the phones is how to handle a suicide caller, how to warm transfer a call, what needs to be done, how to listen to them and handle that situation. Our ultimate goal is to get them connected to the professional in the community that can then intervene appropriately, which is generally a crisis intervention program.
Warm transfer, what's that?
That means we stay on the phone with the caller as we call out to the crisis program and ensure that they get connected to that crisis. So that it means that
you just don't wash your hands of it.
We just don't wash our hands of it.
Okay.
We stay on the line and make sure that they do get connected and that the call goes through before we back out of that call.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call from Christy in Lancaster. Christy, you're on the air. Hello, Christy? I don't think Christy is still there, but one of the things, and I did want to get to this anyway, she said we've been talking a lot about dialing 211 on the phone, but there are other ways, Kristen, as well, correct?
There are, yes. People can also text with 211, and the way you would initiate a text conversation is you text your zip code to 898-211. This is a nice alternative for people who like the number one, a lot of people prefer to text rather than speak on the phone now. Number two, if you need to find some help and perhaps you're on your lunch break or you're sitting in a cubicle and you don't want your conversation to be overheard, the texting interaction gives you the opportunity to do that very anonymously. And the texting interaction also lends itself very nicely to 211 being able to send those resources directly so that once that text conversation is over, you have something on your physical phone that you can refer back to. We do also offer our statewide database out for public search on our website, and we will continue to improve that function here as we move through the next few months. Some people like to self-serve now as well. We're accustomed to being able to Google anything we need, and so 211 is adapting to be able to allow customers to self-serve. There will, however, because of the nature of this health and human services work, there will always be limitations to that search. And we really would encourage people to take up a one-on-one interaction with 211, either by phone or by text, to make sure they can accurately interpret the information that's in the statewide database.
And by the way, we will have links on our website, witf.org/smarttalk, to everything we're talking about to make it easy if you haven't gotten written this down. But it is very easy, I mean, to remember 211 to call. A couple other emails. Someone said, Lancaster Chamber of Commerce mixers are recommended by a caller for a good way to come and advertise 211. Just doesn't have to to be Lancaster County. That could mm-hmm. be anywhere where there are people that are gathering and maybe networking at the same time. What I like about that is that we have listeners who are thinking about ways to publicize this a little bit more. A woman called and mentioned 211 has been helping her do her taxes for free for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's something else that they can take advantage of?
So that is a little bit geographically specific, but there are a number of communities where 211 is the entity that schedules free tax preparation appointments, and that's the VITA program, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. It's available in many communities across the state. It is an income-eligible program, but for people who are eligible for it, there are a number of 211s, including the 211 for Lancaster County, who are doing tax appointment scheduling, and it is as a result, it shows up as one of our top needs on an annual basis because a number of 211s do schedule those tax calls.
All right, let's talk with Christy's back on the line now. Christy in Lancaster. Christy, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, thank you.
Quick question for your guest. I know that we mentioned calling and texting as ways to get in touch. Knowing that folks may be struggling with the barriers of poverty don't have access to cell phone minutes, what efforts might be going on at the state level to get to a place with 211 where you can Facebook message or maybe like an online portal or something that people can hop on Wi-Fi at a hotspot and access that way?
Thank you very much for your call, Christy. Important question she has.
Yeah, so I want to point out with the housing work that we're doing, there are actually physical access sites, which are strategically placed in communities where we see a higher volume of homeless requests so that people who may face these technology barriers can get there and easily access service. We do like to point out that texting is an option when you can get on a free Wi-Fi connection. So that's always available to anyone who's able to do that. And yes, we're constantly thinking about our access points and how our customers can make sure they have access when they need it. So we have online messaging available for 211 in some parts of the state at this point, but not all. And it would be something that would ideally be scaled up for the whole state in the future.
Five different locations in the state, correct?
Five different contact centers,
okay.
Yes.
Another comment from a listener. Pennsylvania has recently started a new program for multi-agency mental health. It's called Reach Out PA. We focused on it one day last week on the program. Is 211 working with that program? Are they part of it?
We are aware of the program, and I think we are supporting it in that we connect people to mental health resources when they call and need it. But we would love to have a deeper conversation about that partnership.
Here's one that is kind of related to an earlier email that we have. I volunteer at a supplemental food pantry in the Middletown Area School District that it has for its students and families. Do you have any business cards or brochures that you can provide us to make available to our participants?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Okay, how do they do that? How do they get some of that information, that literature?
They can call 211 and they can get transferred to our business offices, and then we can mail out information. As a matter of fact, I just had a conversation last week with an individual who does family bags for new mothers and called, and I sent them a bunch of literature that they're going to put in all of their family bags for new mothers. So every new mother that comes to their learning center will get the bag, will get information about 211. So anybody that's interested, if you call 211 directly, you can get transferred to an administrative staff person who then can arrange to mail out to you or get you any kind of collateral material.
Wow. So much valuable information. I want to thank the four of you for being with us today. As you see, our listeners have a lot of good questions. And again, one of the things I appreciate is that they have a lot of good suggestions for ways to get the word out there. As a summary or kind of a parting message, Kristen, what would it be? What should people know? What should Pennsylvanians know about 211?
I think it's most important for people to know that Pennsylvania has something for everyone. Pennsylvania 211 has help for people who need help, but Pennsylvania 211 also has key data that gives everyone insight into their communities, and we're now making that data available in a public dashboard. And the real goal here is that more people are coming together to work together on community solutions that will address the root cause of these needs that we see that have not really improved as the economy
has improved. Isn't that the ultimate goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, work on those root causes.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I want to thank the four of you for being with us today, and let's hope we help some people today. Thank you very much for being with us. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking about right to repair legislation for those fix-it people. It's not just those who are handy with their hands. It could be those that, you just want to fix something and not pay an arm and a leg to get it fixed. That's coming up on tomorrow's program, so be sure to tune in.